Thank you, worship team. You are a blessing to us. Many of you are aware that we are sending a team, or taking a team, I should say, since I'm going to, taking a team to California. We're leaving on Thursday, and we're going to be gone for 5 days. We want to go and soak in the atmosphere of what Bethel Church has really been able to create, where they beautifully host the presence of God. Hi, there's my neighbor. Good to see you. Everybody say hi to my neighbor as you're leaving today, okay? John is his name, John. So we're taking a team just to go out there and kind of see what God speaks to us while we're out there. So we're leaving on Thursday. So I invite everyone who's going to California to come up and stand with me. And the elders and the spouses are going to come and pray over us. And I know Ron and Judy are out of town. They're going and they can't be here. And then Laura is also going, but she couldn't be here today because Scarlett is ill. So Dave, I'm going to give this to you, and it's live and ready. But anybody else who's on the elder team who wants to say anything to them in the microphone, feel free to do it.
Well, since you gave me a mic, I just want to thank Roger for the rich diversity he brings to this church. Yeah. I'm telling you, he blows me away. Mm-hmm. The right place to park your car. In the garage. Oh, who else could bring that richness to this place? True. I'm telling you. I celebrate that. Thank you, Roger. Yeah, it's such a blessing. But as we were signing up for this trip to... I'm not going, but I'm too old to go. But anyway, it's so hard. Going is hard. That's why this is a pilgrimage. You know, it is a pilgrimage. When I started praying about it from the beginning, God sees it as a pilgrimage because when it costs you something to go that far to receive something you're admitting that you don't even have, but you want more of, it's a pilgrimage.
It is,
and that's and God does not really take that lightly. He looks upon it as something really costly. Mm. And he really wants to present you with something when you get there. Mm. He wants to give you something. Mm. And I was reading the Three Kings this morning, because last week I think was the Epiphany, where the three kings came and they followed a star. You're following something that you've heard about, that they have something rich that they want to go experience, and you want to experience that too. And fortunately, it's not as difficult a journey as they had to take, but they brought their gifts. And the things that you bring them, your presence, like I prayed this morning, God loves our presence. Mm-hmm. God loves our presence. We pursue his presence. Oh, we want the presence of God. Mm-hmm. He loves our presence. He loves you showing up this morning. He just tickled like a father. When my kids come over to the house, you know, not all of them, but but when they come over to the house, I'm excited, you know, because we're going to share some time together. And that's what you're going to share, some special time with the Lord. And you bring his presence. Mm-hmm. But I want you to leave something before you go, your religion, okay? Because you're going to make room for receiving something that you maybe have never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to receive that when you're bound up with religious ideas or judgment and things like that. So let's just reach our hands out toward these people if you're standing behind them. We want them to receive everything God has for them in this place. It's a prophetic place. They may have prophetic words for you, but you will definitely experience joy. All the things. You may cry, you may laugh, you may dance, you may, you know, whatever you have not even done here, you may do there. So because it's that kind of atmosphere, an exciting atmosphere. So Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we have these pilgrims, Lord, that are going on a journey, a spiritual journey, to receive something that they've never received before, a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in all the earth in this hour, just like the three kings. But Lord, I am also reminded that they did not return the same way. Mm-hmm. Woo! Oh, they came back a different way, Lord. And we're not talking in the physical realm. We're talking in the spiritual realm. So we thank you that they're going to return to us totally different, totally filled with wisdom and joy and revelation and excitement, a tangible presence of the Lord that they can just give to us. So we just thank you for it, Lord. And we just ask your blessing upon this trip, safe travel, and blessing and favor, all the things that we need when we get on a plane. So we just thank you for that, Lord, that they'll have that kind of trip and that kind of experience, Lord. In Jesus' name. Anybody else got anything they want to share? Amen. All right. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. Thanks. We're praying death to all bad germs, too. I'm not a germaphobe by any means, but I am a germaware. That's what I call it. And I know airplanes are rough, so we're killing all the germs before we get on and while we're on, right? We don't want any of those. Ain't nobody got time for that. Well, today we're going to continue our series. As you know, our 2020 theme is Behold. And this month, we're taking a look at Behold the Father. There's no better place to look, in my mind. Behold the Father. They sang about him today beautifully and turned our hearts towards affection for him and his affection for us. But today, we're going to look at our Father, who is the great pursuer. The great pursuer. Let me borrow your Bible for a second. I have a Bible, but it's on my tablet. So don't be worried. We're going to cover this from beginning to end today. So settle in. We're going to have lunch delivered. No, I'm kidding. It's not going to be that long, I hope. It's really hard when I spend so much time all week working on what I'm supposed to say and praying about it and really leaning into the presence of God. And then I get here and I'm like, I have so much I want to say, so I'm going to try to keep it short. The first point I want to look at as God, our pursuer, is in the beginning, he pursued. We're going to read first from Genesis 3, 8 through 11 in the New Living Translation. I invite you to turn your Bible to it if you have your Bible or your app on your phone, or it's also up on the screen for you. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, this is after they blew it. After they did the one thing God told them not to do. One thing in paradise. And by the way, they couldn't blame it on their parents. That's fresh, right? They had the perfect parents and they still blew it. That's revelation for some of you. And all the parents said, hallelujah, right? This is what happened next. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. That's funny to me. Then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Then God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" The Bible is full of humor if you look for it. The Lord God asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Now, I want to be clear up front. God knew this was going to happen before it happened. So he wasn't taken by surprise by it. But I think we need to also appreciate God had some options as soon as he became aware that they had blown it. He could have hit a giant reset button. Okay, this one, this experiment failed, reset, right? He could have squashed them like a bug. "You did the one thing I told you not to do. You're done. That's it." He didn't. Instead, he goes looking for them. He could have turned his back on them. Said, nope, we're done. Or I'm going to punish you with my absence for a while. Nope, he didn't do that. We do that, don't we? When somebody upsets us, what do? We punish them with our absence. God didn't do that. Don't you love that he said, Where are you? As if he didn't know. He's God. He's omnipotent, all powerful. He is omniscient, all knowing. He knew where they were. Why did he say, where are you? Why did he say, who told you you were naked? It's not like he didn't see what went down with the serpent. He was well aware. Why did he ask, have you eaten from the tree I told you not to eat from? Why? When I'm reading the Bible, I can't help but ask myself questions all the time. Like, why did God do this? Why? And the only thing I can come up with, and I may be off, so this is not necessarily hard and fast, you know. The only thing I can think of is that maybe he knew they needed to hear themselves say, we blew it. And he knew they needed him to know that he knew they blew it and didn't punish them with his absence. That's just my thought. You see, from the very beginning, we see a God who pursues. Now, that is mind-blowing to me. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you that scientists say there are 10 sextillion stars is the best guess they can come up with. Now, that's a number too big for us to comprehend. It's 10 to the 20th power. Psalms tells us God calls every star by name. I take that literally. I don't take that as any way but literal. I think he literally has a name for every star. So get that big perspective and then zero in on the fact that is the God who pursues us when we blow it, who doesn't punish us with his absence. It's ironic to me that they hid. They knew he was all present. They knew. They knew that. And yet they tried to hide. None of us ever do that, right? A little sarcasm there. I taught junior high, so I use sarcasm. We definitely do that. We hide. We try to hide. God just keeps chasing us down. In the middle, God pursued. In the beginning, he pursued. In the middle, he pursued. We're going to first look at Psalm 139. And one of the songs that they did this morning, we didn't prearrange. The Holy Spirit prearranged. Goes with this so well. Now I'm reading from the Passion Translation. I like using different translations. It says this, you've gone into my future. This is David talking to God. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to the heaven, you're there. Highs and lows. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. What a beautiful picture of a God who pursues. He goes, I'm not going to create any place that I can't be with you. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how badly you blow it, I'm always going to make myself available with you right there in the middle of it. There's nowhere I can go. What about the bar down the street? Yep. There too. Yep. What about the bingo hall? Yep. There too. Yep. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Yep. There too. The Browns football game? Yes, even there. I know, shocking. Point A under point two is God is, no matter where or when. This is pursuit at its finest to me. No matter where I go, no matter when I go, no matter what, God is. In Matthew, we see another aspect of his pursuit. Matthew 1, 21 through 23. In the Amplified version this time, I'm just mixing it all up today. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. For he will save his people from their sins. That is, I love this description of save. That is, prevent them from failing and missing the true end and scope of life. You know, we hear the word sin and we're like, ooh, sin is bad. Yes, sin is bad. Yeah, of course it is. But I love this definition because it shows us that we all have fallen and missed the true scope and end of life at one point or another, sometimes many times throughout the day. I love that. All this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord has spoken through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, one of my favorite names of God, which translated means God is with us. Point B, God sent Jesus to save. He sent Jesus. That's a form of pursuit, you see. He said, I'm not content not to send one of us down there. Wow. Point C, God sent Jesus to show us he is with us. He sent Jesus to show us. Here's what God looks like in skin. That gets me. That just gets me. In Galatians 4:4-7, it says, but when that era, talking about the era of the law, when that era came to an end and the time of fulfillment had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the written law. Yet all of this was so that he would redeem and set free all those held hostage to the written law. So that we would receive our freedom and a full legal adoption as his children, and so that we would know for sure that we are his true children. God released the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, my Father, you're our true Father. Now we're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we enjoy being God's very own sons and daughters. And because we're his, we can access everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. Before I give the next point, I really felt like in my prayer time this morning that God said he's going to wake up childlike hearts in the room today. Some of us, we were born, all of us were born with childlike hearts. But the pressures of life, trauma, maybe loss at an early age, you feel like you haven't been in touch with your childlike heart in a long time. And God, I believe, is waking up childlike hearts in the service right now. Because children, when you tell them something, they don't try to analyze it. They just accept it. Children aren't embarrassed to laugh. We laugh in church, right? We're not embarrassed to laugh. We're not embarrassed to cry. We're not embarrassed to raise our hands. Children respond to whatever. Little Sammy came in with us for prayer this morning. He saw some people hanging out, and he's like, I want to be in that group. He didn't know what we were doing. He's, 2 years old? Two, right? We were like, you're coming in for prayer. He goes, yes. I'm like, okay, come on in, Sammy. And he put his coffee down and he climbed up in a chair. And then I started praying and he climbed into a chair, out of that chair and into one chair closer to me because he liked what I was saying, I guess. I don't know. And then at one point, I think Melody was concerned that he was interrupting us and she was like, come on. He goes, no. He sat down on the floor. Nope. I'm here. And then Linda said, I'll get him. And she picked him up and took him out. He just was ready to be part of the group. God wants to wake up childlike hearts in us today that just believe what we're told. Don't try to intellectualize it. Don't try to figure it out. Listen, a God who created the universe, who takes the time to pursue me, doesn't make sense. So give it up. It doesn't make sense to me, but I believe it. In this beautiful passage in Galatians that I just read, we see four different things. We see more than that, but we see four different things I'm going to address today. First of all, God sent his son to redeem and set us free from trying to perform to be good enough to get in his presence. That's a good freedom. Because some days, for moments, I think, yep, I could measure up. And then about as fast as I think it, I fail. And I go, nah, I can't do it today, maybe tomorrow. Because I'm a mess. Sammy was messy and he was loud in there. I loved it. But that's what kids do. They get messy and they're loud. That's what they do. I am messy and I'm loud sometimes, But God set me free from that performance. And he said, no, I sent my son so you could be made righteous, not just be seen as righteous, but be made righteous. Point E, God sent his son to secure our full adoption as his kids. I had the privilege, Ron has talked about it before, and I had the privilege of being with Willie and Becky when their adoption became finalized of little Hannah. And it was the only time in my life I've been present in the courtroom when that has taken place. And it was extremely moving to me. Judy and I started crying about the moment the judge dropped the gavel, and then all the way till the end. We just boom, boom, boom. Because it provided me for the first time with this unbelievable picture of what it looks like that God adopted us. It was so beautiful. And I don't know, four or five people had sent letters saying why they think Willie and Becky would make great parents. And the judge had every one of them. She read every one of them. And I thought, I wonder if that's what God does when he adopts us. We think he has the enemy saying, no, 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 they don't deserve adoption. I'm not even convinced of that anymore. I think instead he has witnesses come up and say, yeah, she is going to be amazing as a child. She's going to be amazing. He is going to do great exploits for the kingdom. And he reads the letters. Adopted, never to be rescinded. Never to be rescinded. They can't unadopt Hannah. It's legally impossible. Can't happen. Point F, God sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts to assure of us of intimacy with him. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This might mess you up a little bit. I don't apologize, though, because sometimes it's good to get messed up. Every night before I go to bed, before I go to sleep, I'm in bed, I have a little journal. And I just write down what I think God is saying to me. Now, listen, I'm not going to take that journal and try to start a new religion off of it, because I may be hearing wrong. But it's very intimate that the Holy Spirit makes possible for me to have an intimate connection with God. It's not like thou shalt connection. He just talks to me and I write down what I think he's saying. Most nights it takes somewhere between 1 minute and 5 minutes. So it's not like I go deep into prayer or anything. It's not like that. It's really, really simple. And I just write down what I think he's saying. Most nights, I would say, I hear him saying what I've already read in scripture. You're a precious daughter of mine. I love you. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just that kind of thing. But some nights, he drops something in so personal and so intimate that it takes my breath away. And I'm like, I cannot believe a God who created 10 sextillion stars and calls them by name talks to me like this. And a few, I don't know, maybe a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, I was just writing down what I thought he said. And out of the blue, he said to my heart, I didn't hear a voice. It's not like that. Not usually. It's just a quiet whisper in my heart. And he said in my heart, he goes, your dad is still telling stories. And it got me right away. Because my dad, as you know, passed away about this time last year. And I miss him awfully, awfully bad. But one of his traits was that he loved to tell stories. But I never imagined Dad telling stories in heaven. Like, I don't know why, but that's what I had never thought of that before. And God said, your dad's still telling stories. And about the time he said that, I got this mental picture. I don't think it was a vision. I don't know. I don't even know how you define the difference. But it was this mental picture of my dad sitting on the floor of heaven, Indian style. Like, he was 78 years old. He didn't sit Indian style. Can I just say that? I don't know if ever in my lifetime I remember him sitting that way. But I saw him sitting that way, and he looked younger. But mostly what I noticed is he looked so full of life and joy. And he was telling stories, and people were gathered around. They were listening to his stories. And it all happened really fast. And about the time I got this mental picture, then God said, some of the stories are about you, Sandy. Wrecked me. It wrecked me. What kind of God loves us so much that he would say something so sweet and personal and kind to me, when I never in my wildest dreams imagined my dad telling stories in heaven? I don't know, it seems too normal. You know, like, you imagine him sitting on a cloud playing a harp and going, holy, holy, holy. You don't really imagine him sitting Indian style on the floor. I hope that's not offensive to anybody. I'm sorry if it is. Cross-legged on the floor telling stories. Huh. The God who pursues us gives us the Holy Spirit inside so that he can talk to us like that. And if you're sitting there right now and you're like, well, that's nice for her, but God's never talked to me. Oh, yes, he has. Wake up, childlike heart, to believe it. Wake up, childlike heart, to believe it. If you want to borrow my idea, get a journal and just listen and just see what he says to you. And I don't care how stupid it is, write it down and see what happens. Just see what happens. One night I sat down to do it and he was like, I know you're tired, just rest, honey. I'm like, okay. I closed my journal and went to sleep. Point G. God gives us a full access pass. What? To everything he has. Look back at that verse again. Look at this. And because we are his, we can access everything. Some of the things? No. Everything our Father has, for we are heirs of God through Jesus the Messiah. That's how much he pursues us. He gives us access to everything he has. That is powerful. Last point. God is still pursuing. In the beginning, he pursued. In the middle, he pursues. In the end, he still pursues. We're going to go over to Revelation. I told you we're going to cover the whole Bible. We did. Revelation 22:17 in the Amplified Bible. Hear this with your heart. Might want to close your eyes to stop distractions. Hear this with your heart. I speak to the childlike hearts in the room right now. The Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. and let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come. Take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. If you're thirsty today, come. Take the water of life that there's no cost to. Drink deeply from the well of salvation. Overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. Oh, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He is pursuing, even in this moment, he is pursuing your heart. Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. As much as we chase after his presence, he chases after our presence. I was listening to a teaching this week by Melissa Helser, who has quite a story. And she said this, and I had to rewind it and transcribe it so I had it for you to share today, because it went with my message so powerfully and I just loved it. She said, I believe with all my heart the greatest gift of the cross is the Holy Spirit. I've never heard that before. Says God wanted so badly to get inside you. And then she started laughing when she said that. God wanted so badly to get inside you. She said, I mean, if that should totally unravel your paradigm of proving yourself to the Lord. They were like, we have a grand scheme. We'll send the son. He's going to walk the earth and do family for 30 years. And then he's going to pop in and do this little ministry ditty for 3 years. And it's going to look like family. He's going to die on a cross. He's going to go to hell and get the keys. He's going to come back and be raised from the dead. And then we get to come and invade humanity. And she said, don't you just love the book of Acts, where you have all of humanity trying to figure out how to do life with God inside them? Wait, how do we do this? He wasn't content to come for us. He wanted to come and get in us. Ah, that's close. You can't run away from that. Who told you were naked? He's like, inside. Who told you? Why are you hiding? Where are you? Nope, he's in there. Can't get away. He's there. Can you imagine with me for a moment? A God who knows you blew it, but comes looking for you anyway. A God who gave up his most precious one to come and get you. A God who watched his son sacrifice his life. Oh, that wrecks me, because I have 3 sons and I cannot imagine watching one of them be sacrificed. I don't want to imagine it. A God who is able to take your flaws and failures and somehow make beauty from them. A God who wanted you so badly that he did everything to adopt you. A God who keeps chasing you down with his goodness and mercy, no matter where you go or how long it takes. Or how many times you mess up. A God who already sees you at the best you will ever be. Behold that God. Behold. Just pause and take a look. Some of you are like, I have never heard God described this way. Good. I believe that when he created us, he actually gave us the potential to put him on display in a unique way. Every one of us has a potential to put God on display in a different way. Does that make sense? So I'm glad you've never heard it, if you've never heard it, because I believe part of my mission on the earth is to show God this way. Show God as an intimate Father who chases us down no matter what. He is the pursuer. In the beginning, he pursued. In the middle, he pursued, and he is still pursuing. Come, come, come. He's saying, come, come, come. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the childlike hearts that have been awakened today. And they are not going to be silenced anymore. No trauma, no wound, no adultness is going to let them go to sleep again. These childlike hearts are going to stay fully awake in you and actually believe when you say you love us. Actually believe when you say you pursue us. Actually believe when you say we have full access to everything you have. And so I thank you for that, God, and I just pray a blessing over every person in this room right now, a blessing of your kindness that will continue to speak to that childlike heart. Because that's what you do. Thank you, Father. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. If you want to join us for a 21-day journey, we're on day 19, so you might have to catch up, but you can do your own 21-day journey. There's some booklets on the back there of devotionals that I wrote. They're free. There's no charge. Just take one up as you're pick one up as you're leaving today. I encourage you to read it and do what it says. It takes about 10 minutes a day, maybe, to do it. So I encourage you to be part of that and really participate in that childlike heart approach to God. Next week, Dave is bringing it to us. Yeah, Behold the Father, 2020 vision. And also mark your calendars because we have a worship night coming up on January 31st at 7:30. I'm so pumped about this because I just love our worship nights. The cool thing about our worship nights is that it's very free. You can come and sit, you can stand, you can dance, you can run, you can walk, you can paint if you are a painter, if you bring a good, something to cover the carpet with. You can do whatever you want to respond to his presence. It's very free, but it's very good. And part of our behold, I think it really involves worship. And so let's behold on the last day of this month. Hope you're able to make that. That's a Friday night, right? Friday night, the 31st. Okay, have a great week. Love you guys.